We got another patron.
Whoa. Hey, Patreons, welcome to our bonus episodes.
This is our first bonus episode, and we're putting it out to make sure that we get two out this month for all of you amazing patrons who signed up for our first month, just in case you get billed for August and September, because that would suck if we gave you nothing for that.
Yeah, we didn't get a confirmation. Some places say you're billed immediately. Some places say you're billed the first of the next month.
We probably would have been out a lot sooner in August if Patreon didn't take forever to approve us. So we tried, but it releasing like 2 days before the end of the month is our bad for sure. So yeah, we're here. Bonus time. And we are going to have a very fun and light bonus episode to start us off, just to get us in the mood of what being in the Conclave is like. Today we're going to be talking about Francis's favorite things.
Perfect. I have no idea what he likes. Is this going to be like that time I read that Lil Jon gets turned down when he goes to eat Nando's? He will turn himself down for Nando's.
It's the only thing that Lil Jon will turn down for. It's amazing.
It's true.
So you don't know anything that Francis is in? Because I'm kind of in a weird position. I've been a huge fan of Francis for a long time, so there's a lot of things I know about him that I consider like, oh, everyone knows that, but
I'm not a Francis stan. I'm sorry.
No, you're just, you are the, in this case, the Johnny Everyday, so you will be the mirror into what the whole world knows about him. So what do you know about what he likes?
He likes God.
He does like God.
And naps.
I can say that I think God is his favorite thing. I'm making an assumption on that one. I don't have that backed up by my research, but here we go. Okay, so you know nothing, Jon Snow.
I don't compare me to that horrible man.
Come on, I'm the fiery redhead. I gotta do it at least once.
I'm from the cold north. You're from the cold norther.
I guess I am, yeah. We're just gonna talk about this very conversationally for the most part. So rather than being like, this is what I got from this source, this is what I got from this source, I'm just going to say flat out that most of the sources who have any information about Francis's favorite things have all got them from the fact that Francis did an interview with Father Antonio Spadaro, the editor-in-chief of a Jesuit journal in Italy called La Civiltà Cattolica, and this was like super unprecedented that he got to sit down with Francis and talk about things that were not super religiously based. So anything you read online about Francis's favorite probably came from this 10,000 word interview.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's jump into it.
Yeah.
First off, this is the one I think that everybody's going to know. So his favorite sport. Any guesses?
Is it football, not American?
It is not American football. You are correct. He is a huge soccer fan, which he's from Argentina. We are not surprised.
Goal!
He's super, super into soccer. His team is San Lorenzo de Almagro, which is in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And he's still a member of the San Lorenzo club. He did not let his membership expire. And this is something he still renews. And allegedly, he is member number 88235N-0. That's how specific they got about. I'm not a soccer fan, so I don't really have anything else to put into this, but sports ball.
He likes his sports, sweet.
Yes, he really loves sports. And we'll come back to this a little bit, but yeah. He really loves San Lorenzo.
That's a much more interesting sport than my grandfather watched, which was golf.
Oh, God. See, I work in the fitness industry, and I still hate everything to do with sports, so I can't watch any of them. I just don't get it. Okay, his favorite book.
It's not the Bible? Is this his favorite book that's not the Bible?
It is this is his favorite book that is not the Bible. So it is called I Promessi Sposi, which translates to The Betrothed, by Alessandro Manzoni. This is an Italian book.
Is it sexy?
Well, I've got little details about it for you. It's published in 1827 and considered to be one of the most famous, if not the most famous, slash widely read novel in the Italian language.
Oh.
It is called, like, a masterpiece of world literature level of goodness. And that you'll notice there's a trend with a lot of Francis's favorites with this. He really likes, like, things that are up there, so... Basically, the book is set in northern Italy in 1628, and it's about a marriage of two young people that is being opposed and postponed in their little town because there's this local noble who wants to seduce the prospective bride instead. And not even because he wants her, but because he made a bet with his cousin to do it.
Okay.
Like, shitty nobleman. The whole idea is basically shitty nobleman.
And then their marriage? That's the whole book?
Well, the bride and the groom, they run away. The noble tries to abduct the bride. The couple go to monasteries where they're granted sanctuary. There's murder. There's kidnapping. It's a whole thing. The summary, trying to find like a little, you know, neat little summary of this book is difficult. If I wanted something that was in English summarizing this book, I had to go like chapter by chapter and start to kind of condense that for you. So,
oh gosh.
Politically, I mean, the book is considered to be an attack on Austria, who was in control of the region of Italy where Manzoni was writing at the time. So it's like political symbolism and very strong Risorgimento themes, which is the unification of Italy, and it's very politically a big thing. So, yes, this is his favorite book. He says he's read it 3 times. And at the time of the interview, he mentioned it was on his bedside table because he wanted to read it again.
How many pages is it?
It is 720 pages.
And he's read it 3 times?
He's read it 3 times, and he wants to read it a 4th time. And he's quoted as saying, "Manzoni gave me so much."
I don't even want to commit to rereading the passage because... I want to read the other 2, like, and I don't remember what happened in the first one. Like, I can't even get it up to reread a book once.
I totally understand that feel. Although, I mean, I think this book has some specific emotional ties and familial legacy for him, because he also said that his grandmother taught him the beginning of the book so often that he knew it off by heart.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Cuteness for the grandma.
Grandma, why are you reading this weird book to your grandson?
It's a very popular, influential book. She's into it. She wants to make sure he's a learned man and has good taste.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So next, his favorite actress is a woman named Anna Mignani. And she's an Italian actress, big in Italian film and stage work. She was an Oscar winner for Best Actress for the movie Rose Tattoo. And when I was reading a little bit about her, the words that kept coming up about the characters she portrayed and who she was as a person were fiery, volcanic, living she-wolf symbol, passionate, fearless, and exciting. So...
Hope Francis would like you.
He would love me. I don't know about the she-wolf part, I'm hoping, yeah, but the fiery and volcanic, yeah, I can't argue. Following up on that, his favorite actor is Aldo Fabrizi, who is an Italian actor and comedian, and Francis said he probably watched every single Italian movie featuring this actor when he was a kid between the ages of, like, 10 to 12, so big fan. He really likes this guy.
All right.
And overall, he said very clearly that he loves movies and he loves going to the cinema. And this is because his parents took him to the cinema a lot growing up, and he really loved it. He loved going to the movies.
I wonder if he went to see Pacific Rim and if he enjoyed it.
Oh no. Oh no. Considering we're going to go over his favorite movies now. So considering the level, the caliber of his movie choices, I sincerely doubt it.
I'm sorry, he can like trash if he wants.
He can, but...
He can harbor a little love for some garbage.
I mean, who doesn't like Pacific Rim? If you don't like Pacific Rim, get out. Like, I mean, why are you here?
Do you have a soul?
Exactly. He did say that the last movie he saw since becoming Pope was called Life is Beautiful.
Oh, that one with the Italian man who shouts.
Shouts. I haven't seen it.
I haven't either. I just remembered he shouted.
It's the shouty man.
It's the small Italian loud man.
Excellent. Maybe I'll have to watch it now just so I can, you know, see the shouty man and feel like I'm in communion with Francis here. But let's talk about his favorite movies. I have, I think, three of his favorite movies that come up a lot. So the first is Federico Fellini's movie called La Strada, which is The Road. And short summary, very strange. This film portrays a naive young woman bought from her mother by a British strongman who takes her with him on the road.
How much road is there in Britain?
I don't know. All right, so with that summary in mind, this was the next thing I read about this. So it portrayed, you know, naive young woman bought from her mother by a British strongman, taking her on the road with him. Francis's reason for loving this film is...
Is there a leftover ravioli?
Yeah, Amber, there is.
Can I have some for lunch?
You can have some tomorrow, yeah.
You're gonna leave that in?
I'm recording my podcast and now you're on it.
Yay!
Her timing could not have been better.
Is there leftover ravioli? Is that why he loves it?
Well, I actually thought this was pretty funny, but I don't know how funny it's going to be in comparison now. So, the reason that he loves this movie is he says he identifies with it.
As which part?
I don't know. I have no idea what he means by that. He also absolutely did not elaborate.
It just resonates in his soul.
Yeah, he identifies with this. Maybe he's the naive young woman, maybe he's the strong man, but either way, I made sure to get the poster of the movie for you, just so you could kind of get an idea.
I don't understand why someone's tightrope walking in that man's bicep.
Well, he's a strong man, so circus.
So strong.
Circus, circus. But, okay, so... Aside, like, looking at this, it looks really ridiculous, but this movie won an Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film in 1957, and it's fourth on the list of 1992's British Film Institute's top 10 films of all time.
Okay, maybe it's good.
So maybe it's, like, super, super good. I don't know, but it definitely won a lot of awards, and it is, like, very, very highly acclaimed. The film also makes references to St. Francis of Assisi, who Francis took his papal name from, so...
Mentioning Francis of Assisi, I decided to go walk the other direction behind the church, since I, you know, pick up bubs from preschool or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Down the block. Okay, the rectory's kind of there, and you walk by it. And then you go across the street, and then someone has a giant wooden bear statue.
Oh my.
In their front yard. And then you go, like, five more houses down, and there's just an elaborate Francis of Assisi.
Oh my god.
Garden area? And behind him are two penguins yelling at each other.
You have to take a picture of this.
I absolutely do.
Yes. Amazing. I'm so down.
What a weird place to put this.
Well, you know, people really like Francis of Assisi.
But the penguins? The angry penguins.
I know. Yeah. I don't. Maybe when we cover that in more detail, we'll find out why. Maybe it's a thing. Maybe he was also going to be the patron saint of penguins.
Yeah, I will have to take a photo for you.
Yes, please do. That sounds amazing. Okay, so his next favorite film is Roberto Rossellini's Roma Città Aperta, which means Rome Open City, and it's about the Nazi occupation of Rome, and it stars his two favorites, Anna Magnani and Aldo Fabrizi. So, yeah, there's not much to say about this movie other than that, and it was nominated
I assume he's not doing comedy in this movie.
It doesn't seem to be a comedy movie.
That he's more like a Robin Williams type who just does whatever.
I have the poster as well for you for this one. It looks real, you know, dark and serious, so.
Wow. That man's a priest, though.
Yeah, that's Aldo Fabrizi. That's his actor dude, so. Yeah, and it also was nominated for Best Original Screenplay at the Oscars. So he really likes Oscar-caliber movies, apparently.
Okay.
Which is funny, because his third favorite movie, and the one that comes up a lot, was the first Danish film to win Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. So, he's into that. It's called Babette's Feast. Have you heard of this movie?
I don't think so.
I'm going to give you... I actually found a nice little neat summary for this movie, so... And it just doesn't seem like a Francis movie, so... Beautiful but pious Protestant sisters, Martine and Philippa, grow to spinsterhood under the wrathful eye of their strict pastor father on the forbidding and desolate coast of Jutland, until one day, Philippa's former suitor sends a Parisian refugee named Babette to serve as the family cook. Babette's lavish celebratory banquet tempts the family's dwindling congregation, who abjure such fleshly pleasures as fine foods and wines.
Okay.
So, like, passionate little French lady comes out, cooks everybody some food, and they all get, like, really tempted by it.
Guess that's how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't save the image from this one because it didn't, it was just a woman standing in a field.
Tempting.
I looked into this and I was like, maybe I'll have to watch this just to try and understand why he likes it. This is a thing. So those are his favorite movies. On to television. Francis doesn't watch TV.
No, not even like some HD TV in the background?
Nope. He says he hasn't watched TV since 1990 because on July 15th of that year, he made a promise to the Virgin of Carmen, which is Our Lady of Mount Carmel, that he would not watch TV anymore.
Good news, Francis. Now TV's on the computer.
Well, yeah, he's not into it. This is a religious vow for him, and he's quoted as saying, "It just wasn't for me." So he decided to vow to not watch TV anymore. So instead of watching TV, he gets all of his news from Roman daily newspapers.
Cool.
One source I read said it was Il Messaggero, which is described as being a middlebrow newspaper. But another source says it's La Repubblica, which is more highbrow, so...
So it's not the early edition, and he doesn't go rescue people in change time.
No. No. Unfortunately.
That would make him much cooler.
Well, I mean, we wouldn't even know about it if it were true, so... There's that. It's possible. Now, remember when I said he was a super soccer fan?
Yeah, now I wonder how he watches soccer if he cannot see the television.
He doesn't. He doesn't watch the soccer games. He loves the soccer games. He does not watch them. He relies on the Swiss guard to watch them for him and then keep him updated with the results and the scores.
Wow.
Yeah, so he won't watch it, but he's like, you gotta tell me who's winning. So, yeah.
I guess he could listen to it on the radio. Don't they do that?
He could, but the article says very specifically he relies on the Swiss guards to be his updaters.
Okay.
So part of your job is to watch the soccer game. There's that. Now, moving on to favorite art. He has two favorite painters.
How Italian are they?
Well, the first is very Italian. So very Italian. It's Caravaggio.
Oh, it's Sir Gross Things.
Yes, definitely Sir Gross Things. Sir Gritty Things. So now it's extra funny that we used that picture in that episode. He loves Caravaggio. He says that the paintings speak to him, so...
They're gross, Francis.
They are generally pretty gross and gritty, and he says that before he was Pope, when he used to visit Rome, he would go to the Chiesa di San Luigi dei Franceschi, which is the Church of St. Louis of the French, to admire specifically the Calling of St. Matthew painting that's there from Caravaggio. And I have this painting for you, and then we'll talk about it as I send it to you. It is basically when Jesus appears to Matthew the tax collector, who is Matthew the apostle. So while I'm sending this to you, the painting shows the moment where Jesus appears to Matthew the tax collector, who will be the apostle Matthew, and inspires him to follow and become an apostle, basically. When you look at this painting, do you have it open now?
I do. I do have it open.
Matthew is the one on the end here, standing up. He's, you know, with the money. And the one that's being pointed to at, like, who, this guy? And in the corner, the dark figure-y one that's doing the biggest pointing, that's Jesus. And the one in the yellow is Peter. So, like, the one who has his back turned, that's Peter.
Okay, let's talk about this. Clearly, it's a lady sitting here.
Yeah, so Caravaggio loved to use prostitutes as his models.
Okay.
Yeah, he really liked to use, like, people who were, like, even homeless or, like, really, like, basically street-entrenched people often as his models, which is why his paintings are credited for being very, very realistic and very lifelike and gritty, because, yeah, that was the kind of people he was associating with to make these paintings. So, yeah.
So that is a lady.
That is definitely a lady who was a model. This is obviously completely in the wrong era of clothing and stuff for the apostles, except for Peter. And you can see Peter's actually walking barefoot. If you look really close, he's just kind of in that robey thing that he has. And
yeah, he's got his toga on and a long sleeve shirt.
Mm-hmm. Francis loves this painting, and this is the one he goes to admire. And he says that when he looks at it, he feels like Matthew, quote, a sinner on whom the Lord has turned his gaze. And he compares this scene to the moment when he was asked if he would accept his election as Pope. So he has a very strong emotional tie to this, because he says this is how he felt in that moment, was like, you. And everyone's going, him? And it's you. I'm looking directly at you. So that's kind of how he felt in that moment. It's definitely one of his less gross ones. So there's that.
So you can see that man's balls.
Oh, jeez. Well, why am I not surprised, Caravaggio? Come on.
Sometimes there's balls there.
He likes to paint very controversial things. So, there's that. Now, his other favorite artist is Marc Chagall, who is a Jewish painter from the early 20th century, who painted his favorite painting of all time, which is called The White Crucifixion. It was painted in France in 1938 in response to the events of the Kristallnacht pogrom, which is, you know, big anti-Jewish pogrom that happened, the Night of Broken Glass. I will send this painting to you. Hopefully it will let me. Here we go. This painting is obviously a... Oh, God, what kind of file is that? Did it open for you?
It's a GIF.
Yeah, that was really weird.
I don't know what a GIF is.
I didn't save it as a GIF. What the heck?
I didn't even know that was a file.
Neither did I. Oh, boy. Did the GIF open?
It did.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So this is, for the benefit of our listeners, this is a painting of Jesus being crucified. But he's dressed in a prayer shawl to identify him as a Jew. And all around the painting, there's devastation and violence happening, including the Nazis burning down a synagogue, harassing a man who they're forcing to wear identification. I don't like it.
You know what? It reminds me of a Leica movie.
A what?
You know, Kubo.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The stop-action ones.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of does. I don't...
Coraline.
Yeah, mm-hmm, okay. Yeah, you know, I can see where you're going with that. Yeah, I don't know, it's just, it's not the subject matter, it is the style that I'm not a big fan of modern art. I could say that pretty openly, so it doesn't do anything for me. But I definitely see what you're saying. I wouldn't have picked up on that, but yeah, it does.
I don't know how many Leica films you've watched.
Those two. That's probably it.
What's the other one? Paranorman.
Oh, did I see that? I don't remember. Maybe.
Box Trolls? I don't think I watched the Box Trolls.
Okay, I loved Box Trolls, where they, like, smack on their chests when they're happy. It's really sweet. It is weird, though. The whole movie, the villain just wants this fancy hat. It's a thing.
Well, this painting is that weird, so.
It is weird. I mean, he really likes it. I don't like it. Yeah, it's just not for me. So, yeah. I'm going to close this GIF now.
Goodbye, GIF.
Okay. Favorite music. Well, Francis loves Mozart. And funnily enough, so did Benedict. That it was both of their favorite composers. They really, really, really like Mozart. Francis says that he has a strong emotional reaction to Mozart's aria Et Incarnatus Est, which is from the Grand Mass, and he actually says it lifts you to God, so he really, really loves this one. He's also a big fan of Wagner. His favorite piece of Wagner was a live recording of The Ring of the Nibelung, performed in 1950 at La Scala Opera House in Milan by Wilhelm Furtwängler. Sorry, that's Furtwängler. He says this specific recording is the best it's ever been done, and he really likes that one. He also really enjoys the Turandot opera, which was the last ever composed by Giacomo Puccini, which is set in ancient China. But most importantly, and this is again one of those things that I knew and I thought was maybe super common knowledge about Francis, but let's see if it surprises you. Francis loves the tango.
You know what? I understand.
Yeah, and he loves to dance. He danced a lot in his youth, and he's super into it. And he often is reported to say that dancing helps you express the joy you have in your heart.
Man, Francis, you're not watching TV. You could just watch So You Think You Could Dance. You would love that show, Francis.
Well, he would probably want to dance again, and he no longer has a girlfriend. He did have a girlfriend in the past. This is a thing. He did have a girlfriend before he found his calling to God, as he put it, but...
You can partner with people that aren't your girlfriend. It's called professionalism.
But is anything professional when the tango's involved? I mean... It's a pretty sexy dance.
It is a pretty sexy dance.
So he loves that. That is totally his thing. And by the way, maybe this is also something you didn't know, but he actually worked as a bouncer at a nightclub.
Oh no, I knew that for some reason.
Yeah, it's one of those things that comes up all the time about him, but I just had to throw it in there. He loves to dance and he worked at a nightclub. So, all right. Favorite food.
Is it Italian?
Well, okay. I have a lot of things listed here to go over. So, first of all, he really likes mate tea.
Okay.
Which is not surprising again. It's the most prevalent form of tea in Argentina. But because you and I are both hardcore tea aficionados, that just made me go, yay.
It's not my favorite.
Mate is not my favorite either. However, it's tea, so yay.
It's not the Roy boys.
I hate rooibos tea so much. But I love every other kind, except chamomile because I'm allergic.
I am also allergic. Allergy friends.
This is what happens with your best friends. Samesies. Okay. He's a meat eater. Loves his meat. Favorite meat is a sirloin steak, and he is not a super big fan of fish. So there's that.
Same.
Yep. I don't eat seafood. I do like the occasional steak. He says he loves Argentinian empanadas, which is one of his favorite from home.
Oh, that sounds good. I like those.
And while he was a bishop, despite having access to a full cooking staff, he made all of his own meals, so he really liked making up empanadas as well. That's cool. The other thing is, he's reportedly, like, not a picky eater at all. He will eat whatever they make at the cafeteria of Santa Marta that he eats at every day.
I'm sure they make some pretty good food there, though.
I'm sure that they do, but it seems like what they're getting at here is, like, they don't cook for the Pope. They don't have, like, they're not sticking to what he wants to eat that day. It seems like they'll just make whatever and he'll eat it.
That's fine. That makes their job easy.
Yeah, he's super into it. So he's like, yeah, that's cool. He definitely has a sweet tooth. He loves alfajores, which are Argentinian cookies, which are filled with dulce de leche and then they're dipped in chocolate.
Oh, what? Those sound good.
I saved some pictures of some alfajores just so we could look at them and go, yum. So these seem to be the ones that he's really into.
I love caramel and caramel-like substances. Where have these cookies been my entire existence?
Well, oh look, it's another Jafif.
why are we Jafifing?
I don't know, I just saved these off of Google. What the
Oh, look at those. They're kind of like a shortbread cookie thing with deliciousness.
They look really good. I found a whole bunch of recipes online. But on that point, I'm pretty sure they're included in that release that we talked about The Vatican Cookbook, which, listeners, we are trying to get our hands on so that we can go ahead and cook some of Francis's favorite recipes. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, so I had to look up what a jafif was, because it's messing with me. It is when you have a JPEG, but you want it to read like a GIF.
Okay. Well,
I don't know what that means.
Nope. I don't know. Now we know. So those are alfajores, and I think we need to make some. They look delicious.
They look really good.
Yeah. And it's also said that on his visit to the Philippines, it was reported that his flight home was stocked with 3 types of ice cream. So he likes ice cream.
So much that he will eat it on a plane.
3 different types.
How long is that flight? So I guess it's long enough to have 3 different types of ice cream.
Yep, it's long. And maybe he just hadn't made up his mind. You know, I'm going to point this out now just because I'm not sure we're going to have a place for it. But Francis flew when he was coming to the conclave to elect the pope at, you know, the one that where he became pope. He actually flew to Rome on, like, an economy flight. So I'm sure him having 3 different types of ice cream is, like, the nice little indulgence for this humble, humble man. So
he's from Italy. He could just get, like, spumoni or something.
Well, there's gelato everywhere. You gotta get the stracciatella and the nocciola. Like, yeah. Too many good choices there. Finally, on the food discussion, Francis also loves pizza.
Oh, good. I love pizza.
I do not.
I know you do not love pizza.
I will eat pizza in Italy, but that's the only place I will eat pizza. And when he was asked what he misses most about his pre-papal life, he said it was his ability to go out and walk the streets after a soccer game down to get some good old-fashioned pizza. And to follow this up, the interviewer person who was asking him this question asked if, well, why don't you just have pizza delivered to the Vatican? And Francis is like, no, not the same. You have to go there.
I want it hot and ready.
He set him straight, because it is definitely an experience, especially in a place like Rome, although it's very difficult now because everything is super, super tourist-oriented, but it is something to go to this tiny little pizza shop and just sit and have a pizza there. So I kind of get where he's coming from with this. Takeaway is not the same. So yeah, a couple little ones to finish this off about his favorite things. His favorite saint. These are all religious favorites, so I should preface that. His favorite saint is Saint Therese of Lisieux, a.k.a. the Little Flower of Jesus.
That is, yeah.
You know of her?
Yeah, that's my sister's middle name.
Oh, okay. Okay, so this might not be information for you, but this for our listeners. She's a discalced Carmelite nun who lived from 1872 to 1897. She was canonized and known for her sanctity, simplicity, and being one of those died young saints. So
yep.
She's considered one of the most popular saints in the history of the church.
She's pretty popular.
Apparently. So, okay. Francis's favorite virtue is love.
Oh, surprise.
His favorite prayer is the rosary. And that's not just for him, not just like a basic answer. He says it's the prayer that's accompanied me my whole life. And it comprises the history of God's infinite mercy.
The rosary is like 4 different things.
Well, all of them. That is his favorite.
He didn't want to pick one.
He's just like, oh, this is an easy answer that I can cover all of my favorites. And to wrap up this episode, this is not a favorite, but this is something that in doing the research for the favorites, I stumbled across. And I think it may be my favorite thing that I've ever read about Francis. And so I would like to end on this for the sheer ridiculousness of it all. In 2005, in the conclave where Benedict XVI was elected and Francis was the runner-up, one of the reasons that is cited for Francis not winning this election is that he was reportedly the victim of a smear campaign by members of the Jesuit order, his order, on the basis that he never smiled.
Oh, what?
Francis is the most smiley man ever!
Do you have, like, photos of him prior to 2005? Maybe he was like, oh, I gotta fix my resting bitch face?
I think, yeah, if you look at him as Jorge Bergoglio, which, you know, his pre-papal name, If you look at a lot of cardinal shots of him, I read one article that says, why does Pope Francis never smile? And it were all very, very old photos. And he's not smiling in a lot of them, but he is the most smiley man now. And so this just struck me as hilarious that it was actually a reason to not elect him as Pope because he never smiled.
And then they picked Emperor Palpatine.
Yes! Who smiled but looked like he was draining someone's soul in the process. So, I don't know, I went away from this, reading this fact, and I actually had to look it up because I'm like, there's no way that that's true, but it was referenced several times. Lots of people said that Bergoglio never smiles and this and that. So, yeah, I guess as Jorge Bergoglio, he was not a smiler, but as Francis, we get nothing but happy smiles and thumbs up. So, I don't know what to do with this information, but it made me laugh, and I love it. And if it's true that he's now a lot smilier because he's Pope, that's great. But I also want to think that he was probably super smiley before, and maybe he just had enough of their shit. So that made me happy. And those are his favorite things. Hopefully you enjoyed this first bonus episode for our patrons. Thank you so much for supporting us. We are overwhelmed by the amount of support that you guys have given. How many people signed up right away. We were not expecting that at all. That is definitely humbling us for sure. That is super, super wonderful. So thank you all. Thanks for being here. We will have another bonus episode out for you before the end of the month. I don't think we need to plug to you guys.
Yeah, you don't need to know. You know where we're at.
Yeah, so do we need a sign off for this one? I don't know.
Bye.
Is there any ravioli left over?